Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
All right, kids, all right. That was the bell. It's another beautiful day of summer school. Now, who's ready to talk Tolkien? Welcome to summer school. I'm Mr. Kirk, your Tolkien tutor. We've got just 7 sessions before the SATs, the Silmarillion Assessment Test. Let's get it.
All right, friends, welcome back to summer school. Here we are, second sort of session. How are we doing today, class? How you guys doing?
I'm doing good, Mr. Kirk. I'm really excited for this week. I know I kind of sound redundant. I said that last session, too, but I really enjoyed this story for this week. It's one that I think I've got some thoughts that you'll be proud of me for having and some thoughts that you probably will not be proud of me for having, and that's okay.
All right.
And I had such a good time with your lecture and your summary last time, the lesson itself, that I feel really good. I'm a little tired this week, but I think it's good. I think that I'm being stretched in a way that I haven't for a long time.
Gotcha.
That came out wrong. Right. I think that you're pushing me in ways. Yeah. I don't know how to say what I'm trying to say, Mr. Kirk.
I think I know what you're trying to say. Yeah.
Sometimes my mind is just like it's like a house with a bunch of trapdoors, and I don't know how to get through it. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean.
Yeah. How are you, though? How are you, Mr. Kirk? Are you good?
I got to say, Mr. Smith, you actually keep me on my toes, and you are a funny kid. So this you always make the session worthwhile, I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
It's fun.
Thank you. How are you? Are you doing well?
Yeah.
Am I your best student, or like, do you have other students that you like more, or something?
Well,
or like,
yeah,
you
technically,
have to answer that.
Technically not allowed to have a best or
yeah,
favorite, you know, kind
heard.
Of thing.
Okay.
But I will say that I definitely enjoy these sessions, and they are a great time.
Good.
So, Yeah,
that's cool. And I understand that. My grandma was a teacher, and she always said that she couldn't have a favorite grandchild either. And I was the only one, so I get the teacher mentality. So
that's okay. Yeah. We definitely we keep it going into real life too, because it works.
Yeah,
it, definitely.
It hurt a little, but that's okay. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
And now I hear though, you got me there. So I hear though you're doing a little summer job now too, right? You're also working.
This is good to talk about at the beginning, because I think I might have accidentally read the wrong version. I know you gave me the text that I needed to read, right. But I had to get a summer job to help pay for some things. Mom and dad are kind of strapped, and you know, this tutoring session is very affordable, but I have other costs that I'm are part of my young adult life, and so yeah, I got a summer job. I'm out there on the crew helping the schools look pretty, and it's great, but I'm very, very tired, and so I had to kind of. I don't know. You can dock me for this. That's fine. But I think you'll be okay with it, because it's, you know, the auditory learning. I had to listen to the audiobook for this one, and I can't.
It's fine.
I don't even know if I'd listen to the right version. So I might bring up some stuff that is not in the assigned text. But I will say, the only reason I did it this week, Mr. Kirk, is because I'm excited about this. This is of all these stories that we're covering this summer. This is one I've actually read before on my own, and I kind of thought to myself, I think I have enough juice going into this week's session that even if it's just a gloss over or a re-gloss over of the story, that I think it'll kind of come back, and so hopefully I don't disappoint you that way. So,
no, I don't think you will. I think that's actually. Okay. I really like that you've read The Children of Húrin then. Is that sort of,
yes,
you read the...
I have, yes. It's the Christopher Tolkien one that was edited and the standalone. And the map, Mr. Kirk, is beautiful because this is something we talked about last week with the maps, right? And the thing I love about this version is it folds out in such a way that you can...
Oh, that's awesome.
...be reading at the same time as referencing stuff on the map.
That's amazing.
And it's just... It's the most genius thing I've ever seen. And I thought, for someone like me who like gets lost when they're talking about Nagathrond and Brethel and Brethelizer and all these different places, they're not in the Shire, I don't know. Then I can have that open the whole time and be reading and just look off to the side and go, oh, there it is. Oh, they're going that way. Okay, Dor Lomond. Okay, cool.
Yep,
Fingol is there. Melian, I got it. And I'm able to reference it with the maps that you gave us last week. And so... Yeah, I just think this is a cool version of the book, so yeah.
Well, and actually you're in luck, because as far as I can tell, the major differences between the Unfinished Tales version of the Children of Húrin, or it's of Húrin, and is it of Húrin? How does it start, actually? I should know the title of that, but anyway, there's not a major difference, actually, which I think is pretty cool.
That's good.
Oh.
I was going to ask.
The Narn, yeah.
That's yes. Is I know we'll get into this because we're gonna get the summaries very quickly. Never mind, I'll ask afterwards. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine. Yeah. Anytime,
it's the
feel
summer
free.
Job, you know,
ask the questions.
Yeah.
And again, remember, as I say, as I said last week, and I'll continue to say, I'm just a tutor, not a professor.
Oh, Mr.
So
Kirk,
if I know,
on.
I'll do my best. but
you're a professor in my heart, Mr. Kirk, and I.
Well, hey, I appreciate you.
And Mythgard doesn't deserve you. That's all I know.
Well,
I'm glad my mind's changed on that. I will not be pursuing a career at Mythgard post-secondary.
Yeah.
I'm going to be shooting my sights higher. I think I might even try, I don't know, Yale or Yarvard.
Yarvard is a good school. There's also Crick Hollow Cottage. Crick Hollow College, which is a pretty...
Really?
Yeah, it's based off of
Is this a newest institution?
It's a new one. There's a group of Tolkien fans that are kind of, you know, coming together to maybe form a different. It's not a university, right?
What?
It's just a college.
Will we be like playing Mythgard in sports?
Sports. We might be. We might be in the same league. I think.
There could almost be like trivia that we could challenge them to, like some sort of Middle Earth. I don't know, madness or something. That'd be kind of cool.
That'd be pretty cool, actually. Yeah. Be pretty cool.
All right. So, well, I'll look into Crick Hollow College because that sounds kind of cozy, honestly.
Something to look forward to. So,
do they have bathhouses or something?
They do. That's what they're known for.
I like that. I like baths. Yeah.
And it's a very relaxing environment to actually, learn in. And I mean, despite there's several black riders flying around, but other than that, it's very relaxing. Okay. Hey, actually, gonna go off script here. You ready for this? So, friends, yes. Thanks for everybody for popping into the Patreon episode here, and we love you guys. You guys are the best, and we're pumped for the series. I did also just record a.
Yeah, what is this?
This was just a quick. I took those audios that we did in the first episode on the main feed, and I added a little bit of music, and I added some just extra stuff to them. And so I'm gonna play those.
Let's go, dude.
I know these things take time, a little post production work, but I wanted those to
right
play.
Up my alley.
High quality, uninterrupted kind of, on the side, because we're going to pause this as we go through this full kind of story of Turin. I like to pause and talk, and it's a good sort of way for us to kind of have some dialogue during the story when we think of something. But then I thought, you know what? It's nice for people to hear those uninterrupted too, with a little commentary from me. And so we're going to kind of continue to drop these in between episodes, which I think will be really cool, where it's really, I do a little intro, I play the audio for you, I give my own little commentary at the end again around my thinking and why I kind of went from my essentially, how do I explain this? The chronology, the order, I guess, in which I approached the Lord of the Rings and my whole journey from third to second to first age. Because it's very unorthodox. It's very different from, I think, your normal progression. So, did you know, by the way?
Yes. Maybe.
There is a... So, we have the publication history, and then we have this... let me see here. Yeah, so we have this reading order that's sort of recommended on Tolkien Gateway. They actually have a recommended...
No way.
Yeah, and they recommend that people, if you want to do it chronologically, they say The Silmarillion, Children of Húrin, Beren and Lúthien, The Fall of Gondolin, Unfinished Tales, The Hobbit, and then The Lord of the Rings. So I thought that was kind of cool because I've done almost the exact opposite. I mean, I wrote from The Hobbit to The Lord of the Rings, back to a little bit of Silmarillion. Actually, we did Beren and Lúthien long time ago.
We did. Yes, we did.
Long time ago.
That's on Patreon. That's on Patreon, baby.
You can
hear
that.
I think if I recall, we did a great job of it too. Like, it was a very fun.
I think you really knew it. I remember talking about the sequence of events in that and kind of being like, okay, this is pretty cool, and not actually having a good grasp on. I knew like Thingol, the name and the king, and I didn't know where. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think
that was like was that 3 years ago or so?
Dude, that was three or four years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So. That was definitely fun, but it's been a while. So now I feel like we'll go back and do it again. And I feel like I don't even remember what we said during that episode.
I don't either.
So I would probably
cringe.
Go back
and listen to.
I'd probably be like, "Dang, dude!"
No, I
could probably hear it in my voice. Like, S doesn't really know. He's doing those things where Lane's like, "And this and this and this and this," and I'm like, "Yeah, dude, absolutely, dude. Like, come on."
Yeah,
now.
Right. Probably like random factoids that you're like, "Wait a minute, what does that have to do with the story?"
Well, it doesn't really, but you know. I think what I kind of tried to convey in this previous Patreon episode that I just recorded was that like there is I don't know, and maybe it's not true, but I feel like there's this false because everybody I talk to, for some reason, even English teachers, everyone it seems that you talk to, they struggle with the Silmarillion. They struggle getting into this first age stuff and grasping and really getting kind of a firm understanding of the names, the people, the places, the locations, all that kind of stuff. And I go on to say that it was the Unfinished Tales that actually was the lens that helped me understand the First Age. Because,
that's so interesting. Hmm.
Yeah, only because, and it's sort of working backwards, but I start with with Tuor and Turin, and I think, okay, all right, it's a whole story just on these, like one story on Tuor, we're going to do today, the story of Turin. And from there, you get a sprinkling of like Thingol. You get a sprinkling of Turgon and Olmo, and they keep referencing the same people in those stories. So you're like, okay, I've at least mastered those guys. You know, it's a stepping stone. I can start with Turin, go to Thingol. Thingol's, okay, Melian, they're different than the Noldor. It's just, for some reason, was an easier stepping stone for me to say, because they kept referencing, I can stick with Turin for 5 hours on this five-hour audio version that I was listening to. I could listen to his story over and over again, and I'm hearing Beleg, and I'm hearing Thingol, and I'm hearing all these different names, and I'm hearing Brethel, and you're hearing them over and over and over again, so you get familiar with them. Whereas when you read the Silmarillion, when's the last time you'll hear the name Finarfin in like the first chapter, or once we're over in Valinor? After the Great Journey, you'll hear the name Finarfin, and then, dude, you won't hear that name for a long time. You know that he's sort of like the head of one of the houses, but and you know that his sons sort of go on. They might reference that here and there, but you forget about him. He stays in Valinor, so you're like, who's that guy?
Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
Again, and like, why it so anyways, I guess that's what I mean, is like there's too much time sometimes. There's either one too many names and too little time with those names that you don't quite get them all registered, and it's hard to kind of remember them. So
do you feel like this, like Unfinished Tales, almost kind of lifts up like an elevation map? It gives you some high points that has like references around it that almost kind of piques your curiosity instead of overwhelming you and
That's a good way to put it, because you're curious about, like, I was curious about the Edain. I'm sort of like, okay, so I'm like, wait, Tuor and Turin are related. How are they related? Yeah. Okay, are they all in the same house? So they're in the same house, the House of Hador. Is that the third, second, or first? And then I'm like, because they're referencing these other great houses. I'm like, how many are there? And they're like, okay, there's just three, thank God. There's three Noldor houses. I'm like, okay, that's good. Wish somebody would have just said that at the start. But Tolkien doesn't do that. He's just spewing names and legendarium at you. And so you don't really have a framework or like an organization to it. You don't know if there's more. As you start reading it, you're like, you're just acquiring name.
Yeah.
This person. Now there's this person. And it just grows outward. And you have to keep up with it. And it grows so fast that you're like, actually, it's almost better to start on the other end of that growing and see what the categories are, if that makes sense. Because when you start down there at the roots, and I know that for some people, it probably works better to just say, like, okay, here's a new person, a new name, a new person, and they're kind of adding to it. And it's building and growing out. But for me, for some reason, I just needed to see it from the other end. And work backwards just to kind of get the organization of people. So,
For me, I've really liked that. Sorry for interrupting, Mr. Kirk. I just like to piggyback off the point. I love that Unfinished Tales focuses on these stories around men.
Yeah. Yes.
That so we're rooted in like, you know, the most relatable, I think. Although, you know, Professor Tolkien did write about how, of course, elves, dwarves, men, hobbits, they're all just kind of like concentrated attributes that that mankind, all mankind possess, right? That like he can't go actually study elves because elves don't really exist. So elves are like a hyper focus on certain traits that humans have. Mm-hmm. Same with men, same with dwarves.
Yeah. Yes.
And, but you know, we're mankind, we're men and women. So we kind of have a natural, I think, connection to them. Hobbits as well. Cause hobbits, even though their stature, they come from men and they're very, you know, like modern men and woman, yeah. woman like, and, but I just think it's cool that, yeah, that Unfinished Tales does have that focus on like men characters and mankind mm-hmm. and sort of their place within the First Age. And even with Beren and Luthien, I guess, too, is that one of those characters is from, you know, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that way it's almost kind of a little familiarity within a large, because the elves, again, in this story, too, I felt like, yeah, it didn't make me like elves anymore. And like these stories have really made me think like, dude, yeah. I, again, maybe it's because, and I love Turin, and I think maybe I just kind of naturally gravitate towards and cheer for doomed characters. Cause I get mad for him. I'm like, come on, man, what the heck? And like Turin is such a, like, we'll see, his heart is always in the right place. His heart is always trying to do the right thing. And he's just doomed by Morgoth to fail and for his to torture his father essentially and the rest of his family and to try to bring, you know, destruction to the to that house. But I think to myself, like he's trying to do the right thing. I don't know where I was going with that. But there
You're trying to say what I'm hearing you say is that like it's the lens of it being men.
Yes.
Is the most important because there's a connection to you, and like you're saying, you enjoy that doomed root for that doomed character. Yeah,
and I think, it sort of makes me feel kind of. This story made me feel really annoyed at the elves. I was just like, where is the help here? I felt like every time he tried to make a plea for help or had an idea or anything, an instinct, they were like, well, that's wrong, and that's wrong, and we're not going to help you, and we shouldn't do it this way. We should do it that way. And it's just like, come on, guys. Like, sometimes I think I value bravery and courage over wisdom.
Yeah.
And maybe that makes me irrational or whatever, but I just think there's something that men in, and it really kind of, it was a very stark contrast when I'm reading this. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the same kind of difference we see in the Third Age and even in the Second Age. There's something that, like, the race of men have in Middle Earth that is just, I don't know. It's my favorite. It's the most compelling.
Special. Yeah.
Maybe it's the most relatable. And I don't know. They're different from elves that way. Like, I think they have more courage than elves. Really.
Same.
And I think elves recognize that too. And that's why they talk about the gift of death. And that's why I think sometimes, mm-hmm. I think sometimes, maybe this is just my interpretation, that they get kind of annoyed by mankind. And that's why they sort of kind of push them down a little bit. In the same way that some elves do that to each other. Like you were talking last session about how they'll be like, well, you know, I've been to Valinor, okay?
Right, so you have right.
It's, yeah, it's like yeah. that. I think okay, elves professor. Get a little elitist. Yeah. Right, elves get a little elitist sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes men have these urges in Middle-earth and in these stories, and they will just be like, well, that's wrong. That's wrong. And they don't even necessarily agree that it's wrong. They're just like, well, you know, I shut up and sit down and, you know, raise your hand to go to the bathroom kind of a deal. And
for sure. And the
know
key,
your place.
I think you're right, because the key is the whole success, the whole reason that the First Age wins out, that we survive and we make it, is because Olmol prioritizes men. They are. Yeah. He sees them as literally the saving grace. This is where I think the elves, like that elitist sort of like mentality, kind of does get to me a little bit, because you're like, you are doomed. You're doomed because you've slain your own kin. You've done so many wrongs. You've left a holy and sacred place on a vain pursuit of the Silmarils, right?
Yeah.
You think about all the vanity that's sort of going on there, right? Yeah. And so then Olmo being just like so connected to Middle Earth and still trying to, because one of the things I was reading about in terms of free will and fate is like the thing that breaks through is this plea for grace and mercy and understanding, and they're like that just being like the humbleness of that, I guess, and coming back and saying I'm sorry and repenting, it's sort of that idea that's sort of what can undo your doom or your fate. And so Olmo is literally trying to teach the elves that, and he's trying to safeguard them when everyone else in Valinor seemingly has given up on them, right? Everyone else has basically said, you're doomed, no way. And he's still over there trying to say there's a way, and men happen to be that thing. It's like the quote from, it's not even a quote from the books, right? But it's like Gandalf talking to Galadriel, where it's like, it's the small things, right?
Yeah.
That will keep the darkness at bay, sort of, right?
So maybe it's like that progression from like elves to men and then to hobbits, who are even more humble than even men are, and how they're the real true heroes. Okay, and so you said something, Mr. Kirk, that made me think about, you're talking about like how sometimes that pity and redemption can undo your doom.
Yeah,
and I was thinking about I have to be honest with you because you're my tutor. I just finished today. I know that we had an extra week to go over the story, but I just finished today. I was mowing grass and I was listening, and I thought it was so interesting that right before, and I know I'm jumping ahead, but it just popped out to me because of your prompting, that right before when Turin is climbing up and his buddy gets hit by the rock and dies, and he just says, "Oh, I'm just, everyone who's around me is doomed to the same fate." And then this hatred fills his heart and gives him strength to continue to climb up. And it's like he moved like he shouldn't even be able to with that kind of fate ahead of him in Glaurung right there. Mm-hmm. And then he when he kills Glaurung, and then goes over to take What's the sword called?
Gurthang.
Gurthang. When he takes Gurthang out, he Tolkien says like he had no pity in his heart, and he was glad.
Right.
And it made me think about it made me think about like Tolkien talked about the saddest moment in the trilogy was how when Sam in The Return of the King hears Gollum plotting with Sméagol to do what he's going to do to Frodo and Sam, and how Sam comes after him cruelly without any kind of pity. And that really just kind of like seals Gollum's fate, and how Tolkien thinks if Sam would have reacted differently, then the stories might've gone a different way. Like maybe there could have been some redemption for Gollum, but that just made me think like maybe even though he might've still been doomed, maybe his sister wouldn't have known that they were siblings. Like maybe there would have been, he could have spared something if he hadn't had like that hatred in his heart. Even though I thought about that, I thought how cool that was. I'm like, dude, that's get angry in your heart and you can do things that, what's Tolkien actually saying? Is he saying that, at what cost? Exactly. And the fact that he didn't show even Glaurung that pity, and that he used that word there on purpose, or grace is maybe a more, like fitting modern term, because we think pity, sometimes we think of like looking down on someone, but really it's grace in terms of like extending forgiveness or having some kind of, I don't know, dignity or whatever in how you treat someone that you don't necessarily have to have. And I just thought, man, what a crazy, so what could have been spared? Because even after Glaurung, there's so many things that go wrong and so many other extra things that are painful that maybe might not have had to happen.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's one of the major themes I think that's at play is sort of, and it goes all the way through like the elves down to men into Turin's story. It continues all the way through all those ages, all the way down. It's a great connection to, you know, Frodo and Gandalf's conversation about having mercy and pity and Bilbo and where that kind of started. And because he did have that, I mean, that he shows that mercy, pity in The Hobbit, and it continues on through Frodo and Sam, or the lack thereof in Frodo Sam. It's a major theme, and it's really cool.
All right, friends, there you go. That's a little sneak peek for our Patreon series where we're covering the unfinished tales. That's The Life of Turin. It's a big one. It goes on for about 2 hours and 30 minutes, I think, in full. So great discussion. We get into a lot of back and forth about Turin, his life, fate, comparing him to Tuor a bit. Get into Glaurung. I think that we even say the phrase sniffing Melian's girdle. I believe even we suggest that at one point Glaurung might take her back to Nagatharan. I mean, it gets out of control. So, but we love you guys. We appreciate you. It's the cheapest Patreon you'll find out there. It's literally $5 to get all access to all previous recordings and be a member of the fellowship. We're going to do a big shout out to all of our patrons probably mid-July somewhere. Just thanking you guys because it's really helping us prep for LEP3. And we're kind of encouraged. We're getting fired up for first age, second age, and then we'll get into the third age. It kind of covers the whole gambit. So we've done a real deep dive. Then going into LEP3, we'll celebrate, and after that we'll be diving into the Silmarillion here on the main feed. But so full episode over there. I think after that we've got an episode on Thingol that we're recording later tonight. We've got another episode coming up on Aldarion and the Second Age, then Galadriel and Celeborn. I mean, it just goes on and on. So yeah, thanks so much. There is a link down below. It takes you to our Patreon page. Sign up there. We have the audio version, and we also dropped the video version. This is a link for our unlisted visual that you guys can check out. And it definitely helps the podcast. So appreciate you guys. Have a good one. And don't forget the sniffing.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.